was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's King at Jeromney. He's Ski at TSB Ski. That was one of the best weekends of football in the history of Earth. I think it was the best weekend of football in the history of Earth, and it didn't include college football. Can we say that?
Yeah.
It wasn't so great if you're a Bills or Packers fan, but...
Yeah, fuck them.
With hindsight, though, they got to enjoy it.
Yeah, like in a few weeks, they'll be like, man, that was crazy. At least they'll lose like that, right?
Yeah, they'll be like, you want to know what? That hurt. This weekend is going to be a 30 for 30 soon. So, yeah. It didn't go our way, but, you know.
By the way, as a Bills fan, once again, you're going to be part of a 30 for 30 where you lose.
Yes, it was... Their first 30 for 30 was the four falls of Buffalo, and now it's the six falls of Buffalo.
Full circle. Gotta love it.
That was definitely the most Buffalo way to lose a playoff game, was it not?
Yeah, I was thinking about all of the games together. Like, so they were amazing games, like every single one of them.
Well, but Tennessee-Cincinnati game was.
That's fair. We'll get into why, because I agree with you. But like they all featured huge failures on like a catastrophic level if you're the team that lost. Like the defense of the Bills at the end of the game was one of the most embarrassing things you'll ever watch. Like the way they gave up the tie with 13 seconds left and no
timeouts, yeah.
Yeah, no, they did have timeouts. They used them. But like the way they gave up like the 13 seconds, and that you don't kick the ball like in play to run clock off on the kickoff. Like, what are you doing? And then just not letting, because obviously Mahomes is Mahomes, but like letting the Chiefs walk down the field in overtime with basically no resistance. One of the worst defensive performances ever. And we'd be saying the same thing about the Chiefs if they went on to lose, by the way. And then the special teams in the Niners Packers game, like that is the worst special teams performance in a playoff game ever by a team. And by the way, I'm stoked. That was one of the best things I've ever lived through as a 49ers fan, was that blocked punt. Like, I have not celebrated a play in sports like I did that blocked punt for a touchdown in like 30 years. That play happened.
Catching the back of the end zone for the Niners.
I got winded. Running around my house yelling, "Let's go." Not even kidding. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. I need to actually like stop, because that was incredible. Like, my daughter's sitting on the couch watching me. She doesn't give a shit about sports. She's like, dude, are you okay? Chill out. And then what was the other one? And then the Bucks giving up two wide open passes to Cooper Kupp. Like the best player on the field, and you let him just walk down the field one-on-one against the safety.
Well, that was kind of a theme, because I think they gave up like a 50-yard bomb to Kupp on like 3rd and 20 to make it 17-3 as well.
How are you in that position?
I don't know what those safeties were doing, but it wasn't playing football.
Well, what's the defensive call? That's literally the only thing you can't do, is get Cooper Kupp matched up one-on-one with a safety.
Yeah, well, I'll say, as someone who watches a Steve Spagnuolo defense, that's something I can 100% see.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you've that's because I've seen it.
What's your safety's name again? Not Matthew.
Daniel Sorensen.
That's the one. Yeah.
Dirty Dan.
Yeah, Sorensen. I've seen you tweet a lot about Sorensen.
Oh, that guy is something else.
Yeah.
A lot of grit.
Well, that Chiefs D did not enjoy having Matthew Lee. Was that like the first series of the game?
That's true.
That did not help things out for that defense at all.
I was thinking that, because like there was the two touchdowns to Davis at the end for the Bills, and they were right at that position. Like Matthew would have been there like both times, and he went right in front of the backup safety and was just wide open because the safety had no idea what he was doing.
If you're those Buccaneers secondary, are you not just like praying to God that the Bills did what they did? Because it all got forgotten.
Now you're
like
off the
three
hook.
Hours later. Yeah, three hours later, it was forgotten what you guys did.
Did you guys see the Levante David sound clips that came out yesterday? I think it was like NFL.com or whatever. They put out some clips where it was the cup pass for the touchdown that made it 17-3, where he called it the stupidest fucking play he's ever been a part of.
Yep.
And then the second Cooper Kupp with the touchdown to kind of, or not the touchdown, the long catch to
set up the, yeah.
Yeah. Hilarious. Like it is funny watching players when they realize like I did my job. They did their job. Sue almost killed Stafford. Oh my gosh, safety guy, what are you doing?
The one thing
you can't do. Amazing.
Did that hark back to Oregon Auburn there with Bo Nix Small? I mean, kind of the same thing, right? Everyone kind of did their job except someone got something crossed up somewhere and
think of the two guys. Happened. Think of the two guys involved in that play. NFL safeties. Like yeah. Holland and McKinley.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. So that's amazing to think back on.
And now that's our quarterback. What a legend.
That's my quarterback. Is that the Bills Chiefs? Is that the best game you've ever watched?
See, I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
And you know, prisoner of the moment, of course. I'm a Chiefs fan, of course. I mean, there's other ones you could throw up there. Patriots, Seahawks, Super Bowl, 28-3, Pats, Falcons. There's others. But
I'm having a hard time. Yeah.
You know, 49ers, Packers from whatever it was, like 96 or what, you know, the Terrell Owens catch. There's others you can throw up there. But, man, like 26 points in the last like 2 minutes.
Yeah, the back-to-back of it was amazing.
Are we only saying that because of the finish of that game? Because it was
– Yeah.
It wasn't crazy for a good 3+ quarters. I mean, it was still a fine game, but it wasn't like, you know, mind-blowing crazy action every fucking series. But the last two minutes, all of a sudden, it's just
– Yeah. No, it was three lead changes in the final 2 minutes and 25 points scored. It's unbelievable. You know, that's the story. Insane. I mean, you mentioned the Niners Packers game, like back then, the T.O. catch. Like the story of that game is the fact that T.O. couldn't catch a football all day. Like, he dropped the ball. He fumbled the ball, could not catch the rock. And then he makes the game winning catch at the end and cries on Steve Mariucci's shoulder. That's the story. That's why it's an incredible
Ooch.
Game. Yeah, it's the catch, too. By the way, Mariucci, like the only guy who picked the 49ers to win last weekend going into the weekend. So. Props to him. No Homer See, talk at all coming from him.
Well, you at least say that Niners Packers game was a bad game, right? That was a bad game for both teams. You know, neither team looked good.
No, neither team looked good at all. I'll say, and you know what? Like they asked Garoppolo after the game about it, and he was like, you know what? It felt like, despite what was happening, it felt like we were in control. And I was thinking that, like, as I was sitting watching the game, I'm like, you know what? Like, the Niners don't feel like they're going to lose this game. Like, the defense is shutting down Aaron Rodgers, like, with the exception of Adams. But it's like, Adams is going to get his. But it's like, they second half, Rodgers didn't do anything. He threw, like, 55 yards in the second half or something like that. I'm like, you know what? Eventually, San Francisco has to make a play, right? Like it's a numbers game at some point. Like somebody has to do something.
I didn't think
it would be the special team scoring all of their points, but I was like, eventually something has to happen, and then it did.
Well, what was it? There was only one other completion to a receiver in that game for Rodgers. Yeah.
No, he did the telling play of the whole game was the last time the Packers had the ball. And it was Aaron Rodgers. Like I remember it vividly. So Donte Johnson, who's already a backup corner for the Niners, gets hurt, has to go out of the game. Josh Norman comes in for him. And the first play, like Josh Norman hasn't played all game. The first play, Rodgers throws at him with Adams. He's matched up one-on-one, man-to-man coverage with Adams. And Rodgers kind of underthrew it a little bit. It was incomplete. Next play was third down. He had Adams to the right. Adams went straight. was double covered. Corner man to man, safety came over, manned him up. They were on him the whole play. Completely ignoring a receiver in front of his face, uncovered. Like he was matched up with like a linebacker, uncovered. Like if he throws him the ball, he probably scores. But he was locked in on Adams. And so like that was it for me. I was like, once Aaron Rodgers, he had a bad game.
Guys, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My wife.
Very nice.
5 minutes ago.
Yep.
Had hair that was like 7 inches longer than it is now.
Wow.
I don't know how to process this. As long as she likes it, right? Is that how this goes now?
That is, I think.
Because I trimmed my beard like 7 days ago, and she was like, "You're ugly." And then she just comes out with this.
Which is not what you're saying.
I'm not even saying she was wrong there, but wow, the double standard there with this. We gave them the right to vote, and all of a sudden they didn't do this stuff.
Yeah, I wish like the listeners could have seen the scene. Like as like Ski and I are talking about Niners Packers, then all of a sudden King like walks out of the house. He gets up and leaves. Then he comes back eventually.
Jeez.
Is your hair currently longer than her hair now?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Whose hair is longer, mine or yours?
I made sure mine's been longer than yours.
Okay. She measured it. Right.
Yeah, right.
Got out the tape measure.
I was literally like, that's got to be longer than my husband.
That's fantastic. Speaking of long hair, how about Aaron Rodgers, huh?
Guy's a bum.
Transition?
Yeah. He's a bum.
He's not really a bum, but like... I honestly, he's going to win his fourth MVP.
Yep.
That's just going to happen. But part of what wins him MVPs in the regular season is that he's throw the ball away. He's not dink and dunk like a Dak Prescott. Like he does throw the ball deep, but he never, ever, ever takes a risk with the football. And in the regular season, that's fine because you're going to play, well, the Bears twice, and the Vikings twice, and the Lions twice, and, whatever. But I honestly was thinking that last year. Like last year when they played the Bucks, and at the end of the game, he could have, like, run the ball in, or he could have thrown the ball, but he just kind of ran and got tackled and whatever. He doesn't take risks. Like, he is – risk averse to the point where
is he Anthony Brown in the playoffs? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we don't need to go that.
Comparing Aaron Rodgers to Anthony Brown is not going to
happen. Playoff Rodgers.
But there's got to be something to that. Like he doesn't actually push the ball downfield most of the year. And in the playoffs, it's really evident now that he just plays in a box. And that's great. I still think he might be the best pure passer I've ever seen in my life because I don't remember Marino. Mahomes is weird. Brady is, he had about a 7-year stretch where he was Mr. Screen Pass and whatever. But I think his style is just not conducive to the playoffs. Am I crazy there?
Old Toe Rogan. Yeah, you know what? Like, the last couple of weeks as a 49ers fan has been really interesting. Like we talked about it last week because I realized after the win that everybody hates Dallas. I realized after this week, everybody hates Aaron Rodgers. Like the dunking on Aaron Rodgers that happened was next level.
It was
you don't see it very often where everybody on Twitter unifies in something. And that was dunking on Aaron Rodgers last week. With like Ski, do you like you're a team that's in search of a quarterback right now? That's basically a quarterback away from being good. Would you want Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, I would take anyone, really. Would you take Carson Wentz? Yes.
Would you take Teddy Two Gloves?
Yes.
No. Yes. Yes. No, no, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
No.
Would
no.
you take Jameis Winston?
Yes. I would take famous Jameis.
Hey, at least he takes risks with the ball.
Exactly.
He sure does.
He's not throwing it out of bounds if someone's not wide open like Aaron Rodgers.
He throws for like 5,000 yards and 50 interceptions.
Yeah, that's a little problematic. But.
Yeah, so you'll take those 5,000 yards, though. You might get somewhere.
Especially but if you're brought up, Taylor. You know, you're saying that, you know, Rodgers is probably going to be the MVP. But his big, you know, metric of why he is the MVP, he had four interceptions this year,
right.
Which is, you know, insane.
Sure.
But are you equating that purely that he's just not a risk taker then?
Absolutely.
So his stats are kind of flawed in that he's so risk avert that.
I think so. I think he just can't watch him until next September. But
hey-o.
He doesn't. It's so rare to see Aaron Rodgers be like, wow, he really zipped that one into a window. It's just rare to see. It's just not his game. And it's fine. He's going to win the MVP number four back-to-back. I get it. But for a while, I was one of those people who was like, yeah, the Packers are kind of – their roster's kind of weird. They're kind of holding Rodgers back a little bit. Like, when they get to the playoffs and play better teams, you know, they're for the 17th straight year, they're rolling out Mercedes Lewis. Like, okay, get him some more help. But starting last year and now this year in the playoffs, I've just kind of flipped and I'm like, maybe his style isn't conducive to the playoffs. We're like a guy like Eli Manning got to the playoffs twice, won two Super Bowls. Is Eli Manning better than Aaron Rodgers? Of course not. But Eli Manning would do stupid shit with the football. And sometimes when it's 16 to 14 in the fourth, you got to do stupid shit with the football. It just kind of is.
Isn't that weird? Because that was the whole thing about Favre, was that he was a fucking gunslinger there.
Gunslinger, right.
He was a gunslinger. You know, he'd have that just awful pick that, you know, trying to force it when he didn't need to. And then you have Rodgers now, kind of seem like is the complete opposite of Favre. But
yeah,
I was gonna say
that's my narrative for Jimmy Garoppolo is he's just a gunslinger. That's why he throws interceptions in bad situations. Is he's just got to take those risks, man. Got to take those risks. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
See, there's trying to force a ball into a slot that might be a little tight, there's just like throwing it to
that fucking throw to Kittle. I was so fucking mad. I know a lot of people were mad like watching that play, but holy shit, that's a terrible throw. Like Kittle points up. You know what pointing up means? It means throw a jump ball. It doesn't mean throw it to the fucking pylon, you idiot. Like, what are you doing? Oh. What are you doing? Kittle's like 6'5". Like, throw the ball up. Let him get it.
When you say heads up, you don't actually look up. So it's kind of flawed.
One of life's biggest conundrums.
Yes. Such a bad throw. Or throw it away.
That is. I am a little intrigued, though, because you kind of got off topic when haircut came into play. But when we were talking Niners, you said, Jimmy G said, they were in control the whole game. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, it's weird because they didn't run the ball very well in that game. And that's usually how they control games is by running the ball.
Yeah, honestly, you have to give the Packers a ton of credit because they really shut down so the Niners started by dropping wide open passes, including a touchdown. Like that throw to Kittle in the first quarter would have been a touchdown. It just catches it and runs. There's no safety. It's easy. So that was just a bad start. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. Nice.
Well, especially with how the Packers looked their first drive and then how the Niners looked. I thought that game was like, oh boy, this is looks like it might go south real quick.
Then Fred Warner forced the fumble and like the defense kind of just asserted themselves. But yeah, like I said, you got to give the Packers credit, man. Like nobody's been able to stop the Niners running game all year. And you know, they didn't really, I mean, they did just relative to all the other games, but Mitchell wasn't able to do anything. Debo was basically the only guy on the whole team who was able to move the ball. And so, I don't know. Maybe give him the ball more against the Rams. because the Rams defense is not great.
Somehow.
I know, with all the players.
They have the best like front four there, you know, there amazing. Is. And the best secondary, I should say one player in the secondary. But I did bring up in their text chain that who was the bigger choke artist over the weekend. And King was pretty adamant that it was Rodgers. But I am still fully bored that it was Tannehill there. Old Tannehill.
Hell yeah.
We haven't talked about that game at all.
He's
Tannehill.
Not good.
No. I think it's Vrabel. Like Vrabel choked. Like Vrabel made. So the first quarter situation where they, you know, like the Bengals had a 6-0 lead. Tennessee scores. You kick the extra point. You go up 7-6. Like there's a penalty against Cincinnati. They go like half the distance to the goal. Who cares? If you have the opportunity to take the lead, you take the lead. Like idiot. What analytics asshole was in his ear telling him to go for two there? Like
there was a nerd in his ear. That's for sure.
He made a ton of decisions like that in the game. And yes, Tannehill was trash. Tannehill has always been trash.
Vrabel didn't make the decision to try to force that ball in on third down when they could have just forced it to overtime pretty much.
You know, you could have done is give the ball to Derrick Henry more.
No, or give it to Deonta Freeman or whatever.
That's true.
Freeman. I don't know. Because
Freeman was the, he used to play for the Falcons, I think.
Devontae Freeman and Dante Foreman.
Because it's the Titans. I refuse to watch the Titans. But I did my obligatory man thing and had it on TV. There were more than a few carries where Derrick Henry, when you were like, he's got a plate and five screws in his foot, and it really looks like it. And there were a couple plays where Deion Freeman or whatever, they weren't big plays, but you're like, he made a cut. He made a decisive cut. Maybe keep this guy in and –
Henry had 20 carries for 62 yards and one touchdown.
Which for most NFL running backs, not bad.
That's you'll get a big payday off those kind of numbers.
You scared of the Bengals at all?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they did beat Kansas City a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my guess is they're probably not going to get multiple third and 34s again at the end of the game. And the just odds kind of seem to swing in that, you know, I'm just saying. But I don't know how I could be nervous now.
Yeah, after that game.
15 seconds left and you saw that. And it's not his first – it's not Mahomes' first rodeo there. So
I don't know. You're going against the smartest quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yes, I have heard that. Yes.
Yeah. Joe Burrow. He had to call like three plays.
Oh my God. Burrow guy. He's a liar.
Whoa.
He tells so many tall tales between that and like, oh yeah. And our kicker said, we're going to the AFC championship. And he was at LSU. He's like, oh, yeah? And Ja'Marr Chase said, throw me 74 banana Y, and it's a 72-yard touchdown. And what do you guess? It was a 72-yard touchdown. Joe Burrow, I'm on to you. You're a liar. You just tell tales.
You know,
that's all he does.
I know one of those is false for sure because no one ever listens to anything a kicker has to say ever.
Like,
so
I haven't seen footage of Joe Burrow talking to his kicker. Be like, yeah, we're on to Nashville.
Especially a rookie kicker. You think that clubhouse is like, yeah, let's listen to this guy. He knows exactly what needs to get done for the playoffs here.
It's the dumbest lie ever, too. It's so dumb.
He also, get over yourself. Like, he's painting himself as the great American underdog. You went to Ohio State and then transferred to LSU. Like, on what planet are you this, like, great underdog tale like Kurt Warner? Are you, like, what are we doing here? And I know it's just, this is an old man thing now where everyone is an underdog. I get it. Every elite athlete. No one said Derrick Henry could be successful. No one. I get it. My God, Joe Burrow, just stop telling these tales. Because when you lose, I never hear these. But when you win, it's always left tackle told me. Yeah, you're a liar, Joe.
Like I an underdog story coming from a guy who was drafted in the first round coming out of college.
Number one
overall is a millionaire white person in this country.
This is amazing.
Shut up. Yeah. Just shut up. God, you know, the most impressive thing to come from the weekend might have been like Travis Kelce. Like literally saying what was about to happen on the last
mic. Like they caught it on a mic. Like
he goes up to Hill. Goes up to Tyreek Hill. He's like, hey, like come on over the middle. I'm gonna take him out right here, and you're gonna be open. Sure enough, next play. I think the Bills called a timeout or something like that. He goes up to Mahomes. He's like, hey, if they're lined up the same way, I'm gonna be open over the middle. Watch for it. Sure enough, next play. Line up the same way. Open over the middle, catches it, gets down. They call timeout, kick the game tying field goal. Fucking amazing.
Where is this audio from you, Joe Burrow?
Yeah. Oh, they don't have the audio because his headset
was
broken. Oh,
weird. Yeah, his headset went out.
His helmet was broken.
He had to call a dive and a trap. What a genius. This guy.
This fucking guy.
With 13 seconds left and the Bills are kicking off. They kick it into the end zone. What's your thought process? They should have squibbed, or they should have kicked it high. It's 20
squib for sure.
It's a no-brainer. Run clock off, stupid. It's a no-brainer.
I don't remember seeing. Did they? They put Tyreek back to return.
I would assume so because they did it with punts, but I don't.
If I saw the punts, that's why
I feel bad. I should probably know that.
Niners had Debo returning a kick in that game. That made me smile so much. I don't know if you like know anything about Debo before this season, but like when he was at South Carolina, he was an elite kick returner, like many touchdowns while he was in college. And like the one thing he doesn't do with the Niners is return kicks. And it's like, man, if they ever like, I mean, you're in the NFC championship game. You might as well do it. Right. Like just,
well, like, assume that's why you saw Tyreek back there returning punts too. It's like, exactly. Why would you not have your most explosive player touching the ball with potentially having space in front of him
as many times as you possibly can? The argument against Debo is that he gets his ass beat the entire game,
and he was already kind of banged up going into the game. So yeah, but I mean that Tyreek punt return kind of set everything in motion.
How did he get tackled by a kicker though?
That's
Did he
try to flash the peace sign right in the kicker's face before he got laid out too? Or
We'll get back to that.
I had a buddy talk about that. So like he was so pissed because that's taunting every other situation.
Did you not see like every single checkmark NFL Twitter account that when that play happened? Oh, I hate that rule, but a rule is a rule. A law is a law. They must flag Tyreek. We have children watching.
Oh my God.
Fucking nerds, Mike. Totally. Mario, everyone at PFF screaming for a penalty flag. Like, What kind of a cop are you? Like they're cops. PFF, you're cops. You're all policemen. You're like Oregon's running back coach. You're parole officers. You're just the worst. You're Mike Florio and like
I hate Florio so much, man.
He's the PFF guy with like the wrestling avatar. Like I don't know, it's got paint, war paint on it. Pete Moonshine or whatever. You guys are planting evidence on kids. That's what you are. You're putting dime sacks on kids in states where marijuana is still illegal. Call it. The rule is the rule. I want to see them kick from the 35. Just enough. It's a peace sign.
Speaking of rules, overtime rules. We should probably talk about that.
I don't want to fucking hear it. Because you want to know why? I had to see that shit 3 years ago. Is it fair? No, absolutely not. But in 2018, if Kansas City got the ball instead of New England, you want to know what? Kansas City wins. It's just because at a certain point, defenses can't. They're just done. They're just spent. So is it fair? No. I think both teams should get a chance in the playoffs. In the regular season, fine. But again, I don't want to hear these moralists crying that Kansas City lucked out when Kansas City tried to change the rule after that, which you could say is Karen behavior if you want to. They were mad. They tried to change the rule. Okay. but they tried to change it for the playoffs and the NFL, and owners were like, nah, it's fine.
The biggest pithy crybaby statement I have heard after that game, the only bad play Josh Allen made was the coin flip. Oh, fuck you.
Okay.
Oh, you pandering turds. Hey,
Josh Allen was amazing. Like, but
absolutely was. Again, you know who wasn't? The fucking Bills defense.
But again, I don't want to hear it after 3 years ago. I just...
No.
I don't care. Maybe it's not fair, but it is what it is.
No, it is fair. Don't give up a touchdown. If you give up a field goal, you get the ball. Don't give up a touchdown. It's totally fair.
How long ago did they change that?
Not the right word. But did you want to see? Did you want to see another Bills possession after that Kelce touchdown?
Sure. Just because I have no rooting interest. Sure. Yeah. I want that game to go on forever.
Great. Yes.
I think I said that to you guys. Like, this is the best weekend ever. The only bad thing about it is that it has to end.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah. Fair's. Yeah. Fair isn't the right word.
No.
No. But.
Well, how long ago was it that they changed the rule that a field goal didn't win it for you? 10 years? Yeah,
maybe about 10 years.
Give or take? I mean, do people just like forget what the overtime rule used to be?
Yeah.
I mean, a defense holding a team to a field goal and you got still, that is, it was a huge addition. I just don't know what they want. Well, I don't know what they think it could turn into.
They want an extra quarter. Like they want it to be like soccer where you have like an extra 30 minutes.
What we're going to go to kickoff if it's still a PAT off after
right?
The
you want
OT
a shootout
tied still? Yeah.
Okay, you want to do a shootout? Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. Stop it. Stop it. Get good. Win a game.
Yeah, Buffalo Bills, number one. Get good at defense, number one defense in the NFL.
I know,
get
right?
Good.
Oh, by the way, I mean, can you guys see up my nose? I have it so high up, like the Niners in the NFC Championship game. I mean, everybody saw that coming. Sneak our asses into the playoffs and then beat the Cowboys and Packers.
So before we kind of move off, you know, Chiefs stuff.
Yes, I would rather play the Bills than the Chiefs, by the way.
Okay. Well,
yeah, we can move on.
At what? So when the Bills kicked off and went to the end zone, 13 seconds left, you didn't think Kansas City was going to line up a field goal, right?
I thought they might try a deep one.
When Buffalo kicked off and it went into the end zone, whatever, Chiefs get the ball, 13 seconds left.
I didn't think they were going to get a chance to.
Yeah. Did you think they were
going to?
Okay. When they completed the first pass to Hill, what was your thought process?
Okay.
I went from, well, God, fuck. I mean, damn, Josh Allen, you outgunned him. And then they complete the pass to Hill. And I'm like,
you got three timeouts left.
My thing was, I don't know if they're going to win. But they're going to get a chance. They're going to get a kick somehow. I don't know how.
You know what made me think that is the week three 49ers and Packers, because the 49ers took that lead with like 37 seconds left. The Packers had no timeouts and Rodgers drove them down. They kicked the game winning field goal, 37 seconds. That is what I have learned. Is that you really don't need a lot of time in the NFL. If defenses are playing prevent defense and all you got to do is get in field goal range, you don't need a lot of time.
Well, you saw it the game before. What did the Rams have? 35, 40 seconds left?
Yeah.
Pretty sure they had no timeouts too. And they got like a 30 yarder.
42 seconds shot. Left. 42 seconds left. Two straight long passes to Cup.
And they got a chip shot field goal to win. I thought the Chiefs might get, you know, Bucker could potentially hit like a 60-yarder.
Well, missed.
They would try it. They would. I know.
Missed a field goal and an extra point that night. Yeah. So it wasn't exactly.
But I thought they would at least, you know, if they got it to where they could get them a 60-yard attempt, they would take it. You know, that's all they really needed. But
I think my favorite stat from that the aftermath of that game is that the Chiefs went like 47 yards in 13 seconds, and Dak Prescott ran for 18 yards and 14 and couldn't see the ball.
I saw that too.
Yikes. God damn, dude.
Coaching. Hashtag coaching.
That's it. But that's an interesting argument because Andy Reid's bugaboo forever was awful clock management. And it's amazing how that has evaporated now that he has Pat Mahomes and Donovan McNabb and Alex Smith. Like the correlation there is a little interesting.
What a weekend.
Yeah, it's great.
That was fun.
Yeah. This whole week has been a refractory period. A nation was just sitting there coming at their TV for the entire week.
I'm so tired. I need a break. I can't do anymore.
And then
Chiefs Bills, and you're just like,
It was the Randy Marsh picture of him sitting in front of his computer.
Yeah,
it just all of it was.
Yes,
it was like I said earlier. Bengals Titans didn't care. It was a walk off. It was still a good game.
Oh my goodness! All right, go ahead.
I was going to say, going into this coming weekend, you guys going to be happier with your matchups that you got as well.
This coming weekend, you say?
This coming weekend. You got.
I don't think.
I mean, you got the rant.
I don't think Ski got it. Okay? I don't think he got it. This coming weekend. Nope, still nothing. Okay.
Randy Marsh. Nothing. Randy Marsh.
Yeah,
Randy Marsh. All right, we'll move on.
I put Darsh behind me, but you got to love you're playing the Rams.
Yeah, that's a weird thing because I'm very much a person who believes in like percentages and like stuff being numbers, like math. Like math will catch up to you in the end. And so beating the Rams six times in a row, it's like, yeah. Like Shanahan has McVay's number. The Niners own the Rams. Like all that's fine and dandy. The Rams are really good. And eventually they have to beat the 49ers. They're really good. Eventually they have to. And so
the law of percentages has to.
Exactly that. It's math, dude. Like math catches up always. So I honestly would have felt better playing the Bucks just because I knew they were beat up. They were missing a couple of key guys.
Yeah. But you saw Brady almost come back and win that
sure
game.
Sure did. Oh, you never want to play Tom Brady. You never want to do that. But you know, I also don't. I know the Rams are healthy right now. They got their running back. They got Akers that's back. True. Like,
So I think that's a good thing. Akers is back because he did not look great, fumbling that ball in the one. And yeah,
that's fair. That's fair.
No, and then I assume King probably. I mean, if I was a Chiefs fan, I'd rather play the Bengals. And the Titans are just one of those teams. They just mud it up, and you don't want to play that kind of game.
Yeah, no, the Titans could easily have beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
24-23, where the Titans got a safety on a fluke play, a defensive touchdown, and returned a punt to like the half yard line. Yeah, I don't want to play those guys. I hate them.
Yeah.
No, exactly. So yeah,
that is a flashback to like 4 or 5 weeks ago when the 49ers lost to them pretty much the exact same way.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I don't want to play the Titans. Nope.
No.
I did see the spread on that. You know, it's up to 7.5. Interesting number there for your old Chiefs.
The hook.
Mm-hmm. That hook is going to be coming into play. Same thing with the Niners. They just went up to like 3.5. That's another squirrely number there.
Yeah. Everybody's healthy except Trent Williams as of right now. Shanahan said he's going to play. We'll see. He hasn't practiced this week.
He definitely
doesn't have to. Yeah. He's playing.
Football.
Get some more Trent Williams fullback leads. Okay, let's get to the big news we should talk about that we haven't even mentioned yet is the Ducks running back stuff. Before we do that though, let's do our list because it ties into what we've just been talking about for like 30 or 40 minutes. So let's just do that as no reason to make a hard right until we have to. So let's do our list. What was our list?
So you want to start talking about taxes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What's our list, Ski? You came up with the idea, right?
All right. So since
did Skip Bayless come up with the idea?
Skip, I had stole it from me. But yep. since last week, Mahomes was
Bayless.
Ooh. I like
since
that.
Mahomes was the inferior quarterback last week.
Yeah. And yeah, we need the boing sound effect for that.
And is the inferior quarterback again this week against Burrow.
Terrible.
Your list is the three quarterbacks you want over Patrick Mahomes because he is trash, apparently.
Three quarterbacks you want over. All right, you start.
All right, I'll start. My number three is Deshaun Watson. He didn't lose to Mahomes this year. He didn't throw any interceptions this year. Therefore, he is better than Mahomes. So I want him as my QB.
Irrefutable.
Yeah, can't argue with it. I like this. So I'll be completely honest with you. Full disclosure, my list was going to have nobody on it. 3, 2, and 1 is going to be nobody. Yeah, but since we're doing this, I can come up with a list on the spot. My number three is Colin Kaepernick. Give me Colin Kaepernick over Mahomes. Same reasoning. Kaepernick didn't lose.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
More athletic, without question. Stronger arm, without question.
Faster. I mean, Jesus, what more do you want?
What more do you want? Thank you. Who do you want? Who do you want more than your current quarterback, King?
My number three quarterback I'd rather have, other than Patrick Mahomes, over Patrick Mahomes, is Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's just got one more bullet left in the chamber.
Without question. Yep.
I mean, he's a very healthy quarterback, isn't he? I mean, he doesn't get hurt ever.
No.
All right. My number two quarterback is Ryan Tannehill. He beat Mahomes this year. He's faster. You just get him away from Brable. You get him in Kansas City offense. Oh, man, he's setting all sorts of records.
No argument. My number two is, I mean, we talked about it already. Clearly the most intelligent quarterback in the NFL. I mean, to be able, can you imagine the brains it takes to be able to call your own play as a quarterback? It's just amazing. Like, a headset didn't work, and he had to call his own plays, you guys. You guys. Joe Burrow. It's not even an argument. Nobody's ever done that in the history of the NFL.
I mean, what did
Bayless say? I want, like, the future of Joe Burrow over the future of Mahomes. Like, they're, like, the same age, aren't they? Isn't Mahomes, like, 2 years older?
No, he's, like, 9 months older.
Yeah, right?
Mahomes is 26 and Burrow is 25. How is Burrow 25?
Because he transferred and he had to sit out when you used to have to sit out.
Well, was he held out? Like, did his parents drop him back in high school, like, twice?
And he didn't play until like his senior year too, right?
He's been out of college for 2 years and he's 25. I know the pandemic has aged everyone, but good God, Joe Burrow, slow it down.
He's no Chris Winkie.
No. He is coming off his leg just like exploding also just a year ago too. So that's what you want in a QB.
My number two quarterback I'd rather have
over your current quarterback
is because did you guys watch the football game on Sunday? The Buffalo Bills, Gabriel Davis, Josh Allen. That guy's going to beat Patrick Mahomes someday. I guarantee you. Well, he did like 3 months ago, but whatever.
Yeah.
It was October.
All right, who's your one, Ski?
All right, my number one is just, I mean, it's a no-brainer, and that's Mac Jesus, the second coming of Brady. Yeah.
I mean, God.
Like Colin Cowherd said in November, the Patriots are the best team in the NFL. Again, deal with it.
Did Cowherd actually say that?
I'm not
that's
making
a real
that
quote.
Up.
Yeah, no.
It's a real quote. When they the beat amount, the Bills... Yeah. In that, like, Gale
windstorm
wind game. Yeah. Yeah.
If he's coming out in support of your team, you might want to like reassess things. I'm just saying.
Go USC.
My number one is Gabriel Davis. He scores 4 touchdowns in 1 game as a wide receiver. What do you think he's going to do a quarterback? 13, 14 touchdown passes? Forget about it. Automatic touchdowns. I mean, if you're Andy Reid watching that game, how are you not saying, we got to do whatever it takes to get this guy? Trade Mahomes, trade Kelsey, trade Hill, do it all. Get Gabriel Davis as our guy. Just give him the ball every play.
That I will say that was an interesting defensive scheme by your Chiefs there. I mean, they just absolutely blanketed Diggs and just let Davis go free.
Which part was that? Was that Matthew getting the concussion, or was that just not covering it? Yeah. I feel like they're both the same thing.
There might be a correlation between the two.
Yeah.
I think on Davis's 3rd touchdown, the ACL that he somehow didn't snap, but did snap of the DB. Whew, boy, that was a real soul snatcher. That guy went home to his wife and she was like, I don't know, that was like Juan Thornhill or something.
Yeah.
He was like, buddy, yeah, you got 2 hands. Use them. happening here.
Babe, you guys won. You got another game next week. I don't want to. I don't want to.
Yeah, no, we're, I don't want to. I'm tired.
Like mentally fatigued.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it
was a mental health day anyway.
Yeah, mental health day this Sunday in the AFC Championship.
Speaking of the AFC, and more specifically the AFC West, the number one quarterback I want above Patrick Mahomes is the guy that I'm told on Twitter every Sunday runs the AFC West, Sheldon's own, the University of Oregon's own, Justin Herbert. He runs the AFC West. He beat them in week 17 last year when Patrick Mahomes didn't play because they were 15, they weren't playing.
He played them close in that like week 3 game. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Such a homer. God.
I know.
Ugh. He played for the Ducks, man. You're the
surprised
worst.
Surprised you didn't say you wanted Joey Harrington to come out of retirement. Man.
Hey, you want a backfield of Herbert and Mariota, you dork?
Jeez. Oh, God. The Mariota takes I see online are.
Oh boy!
Save that. We don't know. We're not going.
I know. I could go off on that for like 15 minutes.
So
dude.
Bad. The Dolphins. If they Mariota, not Tua. Mariota's gonna get hurt. Like his body's fragile. It's okay.
The Titans deserve to lose because of what they did to Mariota.
Because of the way they treated the quarterback who was hurt 4 straight years. Okay.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
It's bad luck, but when you tear up your shoulder and then break a vertebrae in your neck in like 3 weeks in September, yeah, the backup's gonna take over your job, which is what it is.
You can't expect to get your job back when old Ryan Tannehill comes in.
I mean, hey, give Marcus Mariota credit. He marched into Arrowhead and won a playoff game. Have you done that, Ryan Tannehill? No, you haven't.
You ever thrown a touchdown pass to yourself, Ryan Tannehill?
That play. You gotta be fucking kidding me. God. I threw my shoe. I was like that guy at George W. Bush on that play. I was like, I'm good for you, Marcus, but get the fuck out of here. At Putters in Eugene. That's where it happened. And I'm not lying.
Wouldn't have been the first shoe ever thrown at Putters, that's for sure.
No. That mini golf gets you really frustrated. Yeah. Don't even get me started on laser tag.
Yeah.
Cool.
Come on, man. All right. Let's before we go, we do need to talk about at least a little bit Verdell and Dye. CJ Verdell announced this week that he is going to go to the NFL. Travis Dye announced this week that he is going to go to USC. And so I remember we kind of teased that last week. I mean, I remember you brought it up for a second, King, that's like, yeah, there was talk about Dye maybe going to USC, but it's like, yeah, I don't know. We didn't really maybe
he
think
was
it
in
was,
town.
We didn't maybe actually think it was going to happen.
Apparently, he was packing.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Right? Like that's a whatever. Good. It's a good situation to land in. Like if you are going to transfer somewhere, it's a fun place to go. Yeah.
Like, did you see his Instagram post announcing it?
Yeah, like the graphic.
Like very measured. He's like, yeah, oh, yeah, me and my new wife, we are from LA and
going back home.
We're starting our we're starting our post football careers now, even though I'm playing football this year. Like honestly, it was good perspective. Good for you. Yeah. He has perspective.
Yes.
He's not playing the NFL.
Did Link is he not bringing in any of his guy? Was there not a running back from Oklahoma coming with him?
You got the guy from Stanford.
Yeah, Austin Jones. Yeah.
Jones.
He's good.
He brought in a wide receiver. He brought in a wide receiver from Oklahoma. Like that's something Lincoln Riley has done. Like USC's signing day was, as you would expect, like terrible. Like it was a new head coach. You're not going to have a good signing day. You're just not. But what he has done is hit the transfer portal really hard. And has got some good players. Like, let's not act like Travis Dye is not a good player.
No. Oh, well, yeah. I thought there was a real possibility 3 weeks ago. Both were coming back.
Right. Dye and Verdell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want to die. Yeah. I want to die over Verdell. I don't. Verdell. Okay.
I honestly thought these would be swapped. I thought Dye would be the one that would probably go to the NFL and that Verdell come off the injury would stick around and play somewhere else.
He must be healing fast, which good for him.
Yeah, that's
that's a hell of a decision to make coming off of an injury, like to just go pro when
it was a broken ankle, right?
Yeah. Broken ankle or like leg. It was one of the two. I remember it being broken, whatever it was. I mean, it's better than ligament damage from what I'm told, but you know, it is what it is. Injury.
If he was fully healthy, was he getting drafted?
Late round?
Maybe. You think late round?
Yeah.
Maybe. Is he getting drafted now?
No. Too injured.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's why I thought he would be the one to stick around, because you never want to, when you're not an elite player that everyone knows what you're going to be in the NFL off an injury like that, it torpedoes you instantly.
We have talked about this before, though. You know, if you've been at a place for a long time and you're, you know, like 22, 23 years old and you don't
ready to go,
you're ready to go, give it a shot. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but you're ready to not be in college anymore. And I understand that. That is relatable. So, like, I get it. Like and by the way, if you've been there a long time and you don't want to have to deal with a transition to a new head coach again, I get it. Like, go give it a shot.
If you make it,
like the risk reward is great. Like if you make it, you get a shit ton of money, and you know you're set for a while. If you don't make it, okay, you've graduated college. Go get a real job and do what you got to do.
And for Verdell, it would have been his third head coach at Oregon.
Exactly. I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. And so Oregon is now left with Cardwell, Sean Dollars, and Seven McGee.
Well, I hear some rumblings about what is it, the Colorado running back hit the portal?
Mm-hmm. He took
is that who he, I heard possibly he
visited,
tied. He
visited, or, visited Oregon last week. You know, it essentially seemed like he was going to come here, but he hasn't done it yet. So.
Is it bad that I cannot figure out who the fuck that guy was?
No, he played for Colorado.
Hey, he was the offensive player of the year.
Yeah. I was like, who the fuck was this guy?
Ooh. Well, I mean, that was a year where Colorado played 5 games. I mean, I know the COVID year was weird and everything, but offensive player of the year, awesome. When you rush for 800 yards, I mean,
he'll take it.
Whatever.
It's the Bo Nix thing. It makes the room better.
Absolutely. Okay. I hope they get him. But he's
totally.
But when people try to position it as, oh, they're getting the former offensive player of the year. Well, yeah, okay. Some teams played 3 games that entire fucking season.
This ain't Reggie Bush player of the year coming in here.
Right. It's not even Travis Dye, who had like 1,700 total yards.
and frankly, I want him. because I don't want Seven McGee or Dollars playing running back.
Can my hot take be?
Sure.
I don't get the Seven McGee stuff. I don't get what people think he's great.
You just see that burst of speed he has, and that's
okay.
It's enticing. It's enticing.
But is he a 10 touch a game guy? I don't see it. He's tiny.
He's my phone. He's a DeAnthony Thomas where you got to work in weird schemes and stuff to find a way to get the ball in his hand in space. That's how I see it.
King, that is exactly it. That is 2008 through 2014 Oregon fan seeing DeAnthony Thomas, and that's it. And they fell in love with the thought.
I got it. Thomas. Yeah.
That's it.
A guy with generational twitch. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Really tiny guy who's fast.
Okay. That's what they're all right. Doing. I lose. You guys win, Oregon. just a reminder, DeAnthony Thomas quit on the team this junior year. Just want to throw that out there. When he was a full-time running back, he hurt his ankle in September and quit. But he did wear a Rolex in that bowl game. Good for him. That guy.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, I get it. All right, so I guess Cardwell's going to be the guy, which you know, is good. He's really good. You know, I wish him Cardwell. Had his moments last year. He's really good, and I wish him Cardwell. So, you know, he's going to be the guy unless they get this Colorado kid. We'll see.
I mean, there's got to be some other.
What I was saying is, like, I want Seven and I want Dollars more in the slot doing stuff like that.
I don't want them.
I don't want them getting the ball handed off to them out of the pistol. That's,
no, get them on a jet. Get them on a jet sweep or something. That's about it.
What happens? Oregon lines up out of the pistol in their first play next season.
Oh my god!
No. Do they get
and Seven McGee's back there
somehow? If that happens, somehow Georgia is punching it out and returning it for 19 yards for a touchdown.
Sneaking into the press box / coaches area and punching Dillingham in the face. No, you roll up a newspaper and hit him on the nose with it. No, we do not do pistol here.
Bad Dilly.
What kind of scheme did old Dillingham run? You guys know?
No one knows.
Does anyone have any idea?
He didn't call the plays. Like, that was it. It wasn't his offense. That's the whole point of why people are like, man, why is he offensive coordinator at Oregon? Well, we know because he's friends with the head coach. That's pretty much it. Oh, boy.
Before we move on, I just want to make a blanket statement. Oregon football coaches. Boy, their Twitter activity is it's cringe.
Cringe? Is it cringy?
Dillingham cannot spell to save his life. He doesn't know like where or there. It's just your. It's all just it's tough. But he's only like 31, so maybe someday he'll get it.
But didn't I see some UW coach on the recruiting trail? Like, didn't even know how to throw up like the UW.
And some UW fan called him out on it and he apologized. He was like, never again, sir. I'll throw up the proper dub.
What did he do?
He, instead of doing like, you know, the death row, he did. Like he was doing like
meat. Like and it's like NWO Wolfpack, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was really like, weird. I don't know what he was doing.
Like random fingers or something.
No, it was just like he just put his hand up like, and like
kind of like that maybe or like a
like he was doing like the
he's doing the duck. He's doing the duck.
He's doing the shadow puppets. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you fuck up West Side? How are you somebody around our age, which I assume most coaches are at this point? Like, how are you someone around our age and you can't do West Side? We grew up with West Side. What do you mean?
Shit, the world is his. Better
I mean, when one of the white, when one of the whitest people on earth, DeBoer, is throwing up the dub like that, it's like, come on, guy.
I have never done the Oregon O. I refuse to. I think it looks dumb. I will not be caught in public doing it, so I just don't do it. I made it like a life oath. But I can't imagine being a grown white adult and being like, you want to know what? Yeah, West Side. I'm going to throw this up and go woof, 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 woof. Man, sports are dumb.
Sports are real dumb. They make grown-ups act like jackasses on a regular basis.
Sports! Sports! Sports!